Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, it's come to my attention that you have added two more Mickey Mouse mugs to your collection.
I did. I could not resist. I couldn't resist. Listen, Hallmark, if you are listening, where's my
bell?
Ring
that bell. It's right there. I'll reach it.
Hallmark, if you are listening, you are making some great Disney stuff right now,
Hallmark.
And we are thankful for it.
Listen, they're also making Hallmark movies, if you are listening. Listen. I know that Hallmark movies have a little bit of cheese.
Yeah,
they're a
they
little
do.
Cheesy, but I have to admit, I kind of like the cheese. Why?
I don't know. I don't understand the fascination with Hallmark.
I don't.
And I also...
I don't either.
Do Hallmark movies run year-round?
I think now they do because I do think that the Hallmark Christmas movies became so popular that they're just like, let's just go with this. People are loving it.
Like, but how many like big city girl executives can move back to their small town and fall in love with the carpenter that never left his mom's bedside because she's dying of cancer?
Yes, yes, yes.
And he has a baby and then the mother died and then they fall in love. But they don't really kiss at first. They have like a glance and a moment.
Well, there's tension. There's tension.
I know. It's like biblical sexual tension. It's not real.
Maybe that's why it's
It's so it's palpable tension.
It's like cheesy at its best. And I get sucked in.
I don't.
And even though I know what's going to happen, I still have to make sure that it's going to happen.
But you're like that with everything.
You came to our house recently
and our kids were watching like Nailed It, I think. And you were like, what's that person making? Where are they from? And you were just going to pop in and you ended up sitting there and watching the whole thing.
I had to watch to the end.
You do the same thing with Daryl and his hunting shows because you'll be like, Daryl, that steed wasn't big enough. He should have waited. He should have waited. Why did he even pull the trigger on that one, Daryl? Look at the horns on that one.
What hunting shows are you watching that says steed?
Well, obviously none. But you get so invested in television, it doesn't matter.
Yes, yes. I would say this. National Geographic Hunting Show, if you are listening. Listen, I love the hunting shows.
That's great.
I mean, we were just watching recently. And I was like, Daryl, did you see that whitetail rack? The rack on that whitetail was so unusual. It was so odd. And he's like, yep.
But the funny thing about you is it doesn't matter what you're watching. You will get into it.
Yeah, that's true.
It can be Disney. It can be hunting.
Yeah.
It can be a baking show. Yeah, you love it.
It's true.
You love it.
It's true.
All right. Tell me about your good day.
Okay. My good day involves our last podcast event. Our last event that we had at the Be Fearless Shops in Ohio's Amish Country was so fun. It would be very hard for me to choose which day
was my best day.
I will just revisit. Now listen, if I have shared this as a best day before, forgive me because it was just that good. But the portion of that day that I really loved was going around to all of our favorite shops in Amish country that I've talked about for so many years. And you know, Matt, we had people from different states here that flew
California,
in. Yeah.
Alabama,
Missouri,
Florida,
Texas.
What? Virginia.
I know. And we were able to go around to the stores and the places I talk about so often on my Instagram. And it was just so fun. It was just so fun.
Yeah, it was so fun. And we ended the weekend with dinner together in an Amish home. It was in their shop where they would have like their church meals and their wedding meals.
Paul and Mary Swartzentruber at Legacy Catering, if you are listening.
I'm not sure Paul and Mary are listening to our podcast. But the other thing
they're playing pickleball, so you never know.
It's true.
I mean, they have a pickleball court painted in their garage shop.
Yeah.
And they play pickleball.
They sure do.
Fascinating.
You know what else has happened since then is we launched our coffee.
Our coffee. Oh,
our coffee. Listen, one of our good friends, Mike, texted us and said, I am a coffee snob and we are loving this coffee. So you you have to be on the lookout on Instagram. We'll post it every now and then. You got to be on the lookout.
Yes.
It's so
yes.
good.
Mike at Carrot Film. That was another thing that was such a blessing. Mike, who I met through you, at Carrot Film, came out to our podcast event and did the audio and the sound and the lights.
Oh, so good.
The microphones. It was so good. And we gave him some coffee beans, and he did. He messaged us and said, listen, coming from me, this is a real compliment because I'm a coffee snob.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so good. In fact, I have on my bio on Instagram, which you should put it on yours too.
I should.
I have a link to our coffee beans. You can get them ground, or you can order them whole, and we ship anywhere in the United States, and it's a flat fee shipping. So if you're in California or Washington State or Texas or somewhere far away, it's just flat
it's
fee
flat.
Shipping. And the coffee beans are really delicious. I had a cup this morning.
They're so good.
Listen, I want to ask you something.
Okay.
For your cup of joe, for okay. your cup of coffee, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, do you do a cup of coffee? Do you run an 8 ounce? So we both have Jura machines. Go ahead, say it.
Jura, if you are listening, listen, at our live event, we actually have the Jura sales reps there making coffee.
Yes.
It's so good.
Matt and Tim Jackson, they're brothers. They came out and they brought this beautiful E8 machine that's just like the top of the line machine from Jura and made coffees. And we both have a Jura. We both are using our new beans. Mm. You cannot use oily beans in a Jura machine. Mm-mm. And when I run my 8 ounce cup of coffee, I always add a shot of espresso, not espresso, espresso.
I do a push of coffee, a push of espresso.
Yeah, I do too.
I do the same
I think
thing.
They call it a red eye, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they call it a red eye. And then I do, of course, my frothy for the top.
Yes.
But do you do frothy?
Not every day.
No.
I only do it on the weekends. It's like a treat.
You're pretty much a black coffee
I'm
drinker.
I'm a black guy.
You're like Daryl.
Yeah. I do frothy coffee on the weekends for sure.
Oh, it's a weekend treat?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Speaking of the weekend, this is my good day, is we had a recent, it's honestly, we're in the season of life where it's rare to have a weekend where we don't have anything going on. And we, truthfully, and I think we've talked about this here before, and if not, we'll probably talk about it again, is we say no when we need margin.
Yes, I love that.
We are not afraid to say no. So we had a couple things creep up. And Mallory and I were like, you know, it's been crazy. The month of May, like, check in on your educator friends, because the month of May is crazy. So we said no to a lot of things, and we've been home. We really prioritized that. And what it looked like for us, you know, we have our new blue couch and our pink living room, and we found a movie that we hadn't watched before. Our kids wanted to cook, so we made crumble hack cookies, which we love crumble. We don't have one, so we looked up a crumble recipe.
Well, let's just be honest. Making crumble cookies at home, one, is more fun, and two, it's more cost effective.
Totally.
Those cookies ain't cheap.
Totally. And the other
Crumble, if you're listening.
We love you.
We love you, but you're a little pricey.
And you know what else we made that my kids just devour is the salsa recipe that I love sharing.
I know you love
Listen,
it.
Listen, you can, I've probably talked about it a
is
year
it
ago at this time.
Woman?
It's Pioneer Woman's recipe for restaurant style salsa.
We need to get her on the podcast.
We do. Ree.
Come on.
We want to talk to you.
Pioneer Woman, if you are listening. Boy, the bell is hot today.
It's hot. It's busy already. So if you Google Pioneer Woman Food Network restaurant style salsa, you can get it too.
It's delicious.
I omit the jalapeno for my kids.
Okay.
So
it's delicious.
But yeah, so we literally just spent a day at home doing nothing and cooking. My kids are at the age where they love helping in the kitchen. So that's
okay,
what we did.
I want to talk about something that when you make these decisions that sometimes as parents of kids that are younger, we're not aware that this is happening when you don't even know what I'm going to say and you're already
but I know
but
it's going to be good.
Yeah. is that we do this because we know our family needs it, right? We make choices like that because we know our family needs it.
Right.
What we don't often weigh is that our children are watching those choices. They are paying attention. Now, your oldest son is old enough that he's like, mom and dad said no to some things so that we could be home and look at what we're doing instead. And we're playing outside because your kids play in the backyard.
Oh, I love it.
I love how much they play in the backyard. I mean, when your neighbors put up their fence, Luca cried. They cried because they love talking over the fence to the neighbors.
They sure do.
But we don't really weigh that as much. And I can say this with assurance, because now our boys are 29 and 24 and they both own their own homes. And because we made choices like that, and you lived with us when we made choices like that. Now, we said a yes a lot, but we did say no a lot.
Right.
And we did stay home a lot. And we did say, we're going to make a meal this Saturday night. You can each invite a friend, but we're going to stay home. You can play video games in the dining room. The dining room can become an arcade.
I remember when we did that.
Are staying home. And now what I watch with our boys is they stay home.
Yeah.
Even just this past weekend, Joey just stayed home. Yeah. He just stayed home and did laundry and cleaned his room. And, you know, he was home. Mm-hmm. And I think when we model that time after time after time after time, when our children are growing up, it becomes part of their decision making too.
Totally. And I think our kids see, you know, for us, Mallory and I both work full time. So the weekends for us are often where we hit the reset button. So that means we're straightening up, we're getting clothes ready, we're getting lunch ready, we're washing things, painting, whatever we need to do around the house. And I think what it does for us is it sets up our week to be more intentional with our family. So what I mean by that is rarely are we doing laundry on a Monday night where we're like harried and hurried and rushed and like, worked all day, throw a lot. Like we don't run around a lot through the week. Because we do kind of hit the reset button. You know, our Sunday afternoon and evening is kind of a precious time. The only thing that we do is record the podcast when the kids go to bed. So that time from like lunch to 7:30 is like really special time for us to get things done, but also just kind of sit around and hang out with our family.
Yeah, that's good.
And our kids are so funny because our kids already... every now and then they get a little itchy to get out of the house and do something. And so do we, but our kids really love staying home.
They love home.
They love being home with us.
Yeah. But your kids came by one day when we were out and about, you came to where we were and we were talking and hanging out and looking around, and Luca's like, I'm ready to go home now. I want to see Charlie. I want to get home to Charlie. And I was like, wow, that's great. That's
our kids
awesome.
Love home.
That's actually good.
And I think too, your kids watch. They watch.
Oh my goodness, yes.
They are watching you all the time.
Yes.
It is like the scariest mirror that you will ever have held up to yourself, mm-hmm. because your kids say things like you say them. They model the tone that you have with your spouse. They model the way that you react to situations. And so our oldest is a fourth grader, and he's getting to the age where he's really reflecting back to us all the things that we're showing. I mean, your kids do that all the time. You know, your three-year-old matches your temperament, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but we're kind of getting to the place where he's kind of saying what he wants instead of just doing it. And so it's interesting because now he's saying, I really want to be home and I really want to do this. And you know, it's just interesting.
Okay. Listen, we might need to change course here on this podcast. We had another topic picked out, but let's just pause here for a second and talk about some things that we might do that are, you're putting your notes down. You're just putting your notes away. Things that we do that are not just our kids. I want to even say friends. Things that we do that when we're doing them, we may be doing it for our own self-improvement. Mm. We may be doing it for our own life, but we influence the people around us. And our kids, I think our kids are a true testament of that for sure.
Well, one for us that's important to our kids that they don't know it's important to them yet is eating dinner together. and I know this was a priority for your family too, is our kids have an expectation that we are home at the same time at night and that we have a meal together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, listen, sometimes it's hot dogs and baked beans from a can. And sometimes the other night, Mallory made chicken parmesan from scratch and everything in between. It's a salad. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Sometimes we have an open face egg sandwich with a little bit of sausage.
And that's not the point, isn't what you're serving, but our kids have come to expect time around the table together. And you know what we do? I don't know if you know this about us. We just started this this year. As we go around the table and we do high-low buffalo. Have we talked about this?
I don't know, but I like where it's going.
So we take a turn at the meal where when we start off, and everybody has to give their high of the day, their low of the day, and buffalo is just something random that happened.
I love that.
So we do high-low buffalo. And it's just a way to get our kids talking and sharing what's on their heart.
Where did this come from?
It came from actually our friend Maggie. Her daughter's school does that. It's something that came from their school.
High low buffalo.
So it's something great.
You heard it here.
Something sad. Something just kind of fun or random or silly.
Okay.
And so it just creates the conversation around the table that we want our kids to have.
Can you give us a recent high low buffalo from somebody in your family?
Let's see. Luca's
without being exploitive.
Yeah, no. Highs are often things to do with friends. So my friend came, we played at recess together, or Mallory's parents were in Hilton Head for the winter and they came home recently and they're like, Grammy and Papa are coming home. That's my high. A low can sometimes be our kids got our two littlest kids both got slime. Okay. And Remy, our little one, mixed it together and it upset our middle child, our 7-year-old. And so his low
is she mixed
slime.
The two slimes together?
Yes, hers Remy. And his. One was green and one was orange.
Oh, Remy, not a good choice.
And then buffalo could be like, so-and-so wore a cool shirt today, or I like that we're eating chicken parmesan for dinner. Okay. It can be just something random. Okay. So. Okay. It's just a fun way for us to get our family to talk around the table.
Yeah, and here's let me just say this because I'm a little bit ahead of you with my boys in age. By doing high low buffalo, what you're planting that will grow is that when your boys are teenage boys, because some teenage boys, it's hard to get them to open up or communicate.
Right.
So often what can happen is they come home from school and it's like, how was your day? Fine. What happened? Nothing. You know, and high-low buffalo is already cultivating this action or this exercise of, we're going to express ourselves. We're going to talk about our feelings. This is a safe place. We're going to be able to talk about our lows. We're going to be able to talk about our highs, and we're going to be able to talk about the silly random things.
Right.
And then when they're a teenager, that's already so laid, like the tracks are already laid down for the train.
Right.
And it's going to be something that's more natural for them than the typical non-communicative.
Right. Well, really
boy.
What we're doing is we're creating the system. So it's like we're creating a system for how we communicate to each other. The topics or the content's going to change. So we're creating the system like, hey, this is what we do. We communicate and we talk. And so right now it's so-and-so didn't play with me at recess. But in, 6 or 7 years when we have teenagers, it could be so-and-so broke up and it hurt their feelings.
Right,
or
right.
This person at school tried to get me to do something that I'm not comfortable with. Or this group of kids went to a party and I was left out or I wasn't invited.
Yes.
And so our hope is that we're laying the foundation for the system, but as they age, the topics are going to shift and change to things that are relevant to them.
And listen, we always tried to cultivate being the house where kids came.
Same.
We wanted to be fun. We wanted to be like there were times, and you know this, Matt, there were times that there were like 6 screens in our dining room. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, because
I remember you had like all the theater kids over and they're like, oh, what a beautiful morning. And you and Daryl are trying to watch a hunting show and you're like, okay, tone it down.
We did whatever it took.
Singing in the rain.
We did whatever it took.
I like to be in America. Okay, buy me in America. Okay, I'm done.
We did whatever it took. Whatever, that's right. Whatever it took for kids to feel welcome, whatever it took for kids to want to be at our house. Like we always tried to have like all the sugar cereals, like yeah. Lucky Charms and Captain Crunch and
Fruit right. Loops.
Because that's a great way for you to know who your children's friends are, what their mm-hmm. lines of communication are, and how they're speaking to one another.
That's right.
What kids are dropping the F-bomb and what kids are saying like, hey, you shouldn't talk like that.
Right.
Like it really gives you a window into, you know, how your kids are interacting with their friends. And it was one of, listen, if you are a mom or dad of young children, that is one of my big, I would say that is one of my big pieces of advice, is to cultivate your home to be a place where all the kids want to hang out yeah. and where they want to be, because yeah. your kids are going to be somewhere.
Might as well be with you.
Might as well be at your house.
That's right. So as a mom of upper 20-year-olds, what are some of the things that you're like, oh, I'm so glad we did that, because you're seeing the payoff now, maybe in the way that your kids communicate to you, or the way they're making home that models you? What are some of the things that you're like, oh, I love watching this blossom in my kid at this season? Mm.
I would say and you know this because you lived with us for 2.5 years, but we communicated with our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like, this is the rule, it's because we said so, don't ask any questions, we're not going to give you an explanation. We really talked about things. So our oldest son and our boys don't communicate the same.
Right.
So it wasn't like one approach worked for both. Our oldest son has been a grandfather since he was 4.
And, he was born an old man.
And we could get a cup of coffee, each of us, and that cup of coffee never reached the bottom for, you know, on a Saturday for 2 or 3 hours right. in the morning, just really talking about life and talking about everything. So communication is definitely one thing. And now as adults, just this past Christmas, we have something we call now family meeting, mm-hmm. where we'll say, okay, we want to have a family meeting about this, and we'll all get around, and I have my notebook, you know, I do. And
fresh ideas.
And the boys, you know, the boys have their notes up on their phone, and we really talk about what's happening in our family.
Yeah.
And I think that all stems from we were doing it when they were, 12 and 7.
Yeah. And something I love about both of your boys is they're hosts.
Hosts. They sure are.
They have like taken up what you and Daryl laid in them. Cause listen, here's something people may not know about you guys, is Daryl is just as much a host as you are.
I couldn't do what I do hosting and having people as guests without Daryl.
Right.
I could not.
Right.
I'll make a big meal. I'll make a nice meal. But you know who's over at the sink? Rinsing yeah. all the dishes and put them in the yeah. dishwasher. You've seen it 1,000 times, Matt. It's Daryl. You know who's helping me get out the pressure washer to get all the porches clean before people come? It's Daryl. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, who's helping me rearrange? Daryl. Like, so we really are helpmates to one another.
Totally.
I would say it leans heavily upon him as the helpmate muscle of the craft.
Right. Well, you're doing the food. Yeah. I mean, you have your jobs.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. But he is always right there helping me host. If I had to do it alone, I wouldn't do it near to the yeah. level I do it. And that goes for when the kids were teenagers too.
Right.
Because
right,
with
right.
with being the house where all the kids come, that comes with, you know, a trail of Snicker bar wrappers and, you know, and people leaving things and the screen staying out for 4 days and,
right,
you know,
right.
things like that. So I would say cultivating communication is a real big one. And I want to tell you, things like Kylo Buffalo or things like around the table, that's what cultivates your kids talking. Mm-hmm. Because there will come a time that your children might not communicate as much with you.
Right.
So if you're in that time now with them as teenagers, like, I can't get them to talk to me, then choose something that you know is of interest to them. I just saw somebody post that she surprised her teenage daughter with Morgan Wallen concert tickets. Find something that is something that your child loves and just do that with them.
Yeah.
Just to start setting the stage for more for more communicating. Another thing that we did with the boys growing up that I am so thankful that we did, and this also speaks to teachers. You know, the boys both had a teacher, a sixth grade teacher, Mr. Monigold. Mr. Monigold, if you're listening, I owe you so much in this regard. He was such a great male teacher. In sixth grade, he had a book, like, you know, those turnstiles with like the book. What do you call those things? They're like book. Book turnstiles. Yeah. Sure. And he had books geared towards sixth grade boys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that our boys hated reading before sixth grade, but in sixth grade, because of Mr. Monigold, our boys fell in love with reading. And then from that, I would tell the boys, I will take you to Barnes & Nobles or Books A Million, and you can buy whatever book you want as long as you promise to read it. And our boys are both very avid readers. They both read a lot.
They both
definitely have a different style of reading of what they read, but they both are passionate readers, and that started way back in the sixth grade.
Well, and I think part of that, to the point of what we're talking about, is you and Daryl modeled that for them.
Yes.
You know, people may not think Daryl's a reader, but Daryl's a reader. He's on vacation, he reads like Clive Custer and Zane,
Louis L'Amour.
Yeah, all those
westerns.
Daryl loves reading, and so do you. And you know, your kids see what you do. It's really hard. Like, listen, I'm just going to be real. My kids don't see me do sports.
Oh.
So it's going to be really hard for my kids to be like, I'm sporty. You know, and that's just not my thing. You know, Luca has tried basketball, has done some sports, and has tried some things. But truthfully, those aren't going to come as naturally to him because he didn't grow up in a house where that was something
we did.
That's
a good point.
And so the things that we're good at and the things that we do are going to be more natural for him to learn and to do. So that's why he's a reader. Our kids love the kitchen. You know, our kids love hanging out with friends. They're all very big talkers. They probably would have a podcast.
Is so funny.
And so, you know, all the things that Mallory and I value and prioritize truly at this season are their priorities. And that won't always be, but for right now, it's just kind of where we are.
And I think you bring up something valuable too in this regard, the kind of the opposite of that is, you know, when we sold our business, we strategically intentionally did that before our boys were old enough to ever think they needed to go into the same occupation as us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we put an expectation on our kids. If you were a basketball or a baseball star, as a dad or as a mom, we place this expectation on our kids to do the same thing. You know, I saw Tim and Amy Slaball, which are really great friends of ours, you know, and Amy's my friend who passed away last year, but I saw them navigate in such a wonderful way. Tim was an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
Incredible basketball player. And Amy was a cheerleader, you know, and also just naturally just, I would say she was just like a natural almost gymnast. Like when I met her, she could do a one-handed handstand on a kettlebell. And she just, you know, even with her health challenges, she, you know, she was, I would call her athletic.
Yeah.
And both of their boys chose to play sports when they were young. And then when they got a little older, they wanted to go into theater. Into drama. And so they were both in theater and drama in high school. And Tim and Amy were so supportive of that and so kind and so open to that. And I think sometimes as parents, we are, and I don't use this term lightly, we are called or we are pressed upon or we are impressed upon not to push our kids to do what it is our dream.
Yeah.
Like what it is that we feel like they should do because that was our dream.
Right.
And I think those signals are if your children are uninterested.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, if they're uninterested and they would rather go around the house singing Music Man, you know, then
76 trombones and the big parade, you know, 110 corn.
Then be supportive of that.
Yeah.
And same with careers. I mean, how many people or stories or Hallmark movies have you seen where, where, you know, the father's an attorney or a doctor or a dentist, and then it's just expected that the child is going
right
to walk that same path.
And I mean, listen, my parents were like, do what you want. Like, make a difference in the world. And sometimes I wish they would have steered me to be a doctor or a lawyer. Listen, because those teacher paychecks. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, our youngest son, and this was tough. This was a tough one for me because I have always felt, and I still believe this, I've always felt that higher education is a privilege.
Yes.
Higher education is something that is a privilege. Not everybody gets to do that. And if you get to do it, you are privileged and you are fortunate. And so our oldest son graduated from Wheaton with a geology degree and went on to get his master's and is a geologist and works in geology. Our youngest son went to Wheaton his first year and was like, this is not my vibe. This is not.
I forgot he went to Wheaton for one year.
Yes, for one year, and said, this is not what I want to do. And I was like, I tried different approaches, like, are you sure? And can you give it more time? And and he was like, no, I want to transfer to Ohio State. I want to go to a big college. I want to go to big football games. I want to, I want to just
have the college experience like that.
So he transferred to Ohio State.
The Ohio State
in Columbus. Went there for a year, COVID happened, and he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do online learning. And it was hard for me, Matt.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, oh, you're going to get your education. You're going to stick it out for 2 years and get your education. But we don't pay for all of our boys' education. We help them, but we don't pay for all of it because I believe, and so does Daryl, that they need to have some skin in the game.
Totally.
So Joey's like, Mom, I don't want the debt. I want to get my real estate license. That is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Will you and Dad pay for my real estate license instead of helping me with college? And I want to get my real estate license.
Yeah.
And we were like, yes. And he has done great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And he's doing great at 24, but he does not have his 4-year bachelor's degree. And I had to set that aside. I had to let that go because that's what I wanted. That's what I thought he needed. But turns out he didn't.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think it's great to let your kids explore the path that they choose.
Yeah.
You know, and there could come a day where he says, you know, I really want to wrap up a 4-year degree.
Yeah.
But that might not be right now.
Yeah. Might not be. Well, so, Matt, let's talk about food.
Let's talk about meat and cheese. Let's talk about all the crackers.
And the bulk food that we can eat.
Let's talk about food.
Listen, we had, and listen, I know that it was a month ago, but the charcuterie board at the event was so delicious.
Listen, shout out to my mom, Francine, and Roxy, and Berta. Oh my goodness.
And Kat and Mallory. That charcuterie board was a sight to behold. And I just want to tell you something. At Walnut Creek Foods and Market, and it's Walnut Creek Foods brand, there is a beef pastrami.
Sign me up.
That will blow your mind. It is so good. We had several people that shopped the next day. We're like, what kind of beef was that? Beef pastrami. It was so good. In the deli, sliced thin. It was delicious.
So
rolled
good.
Up on a charcuterie board. It was delicious.
So good. We had so many great things from Walnut Creek Cheese there. You know my favorite is sweet Lebanon bologna, and it did make an appearance.
Yes, it did.
I'm so happy about that.
We are so thankful for Walnut Creek Foods sponsoring this podcast, sponsoring our live events. We have a great relationship with them, and we love their products, truly.
Absolutely. All right. Well, hey, we say it every time, and let's say it again. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.